we didn't finish because everyone was droopy post Poland. Everyone was droopy. So first, let's finish Perek Gimel. We saw last time that the song about there's a time for everything. God made everything nice in its time. The conclusion that was reached, Pesukim Yud Bet and Yud Gimel and Perek Gimel. Let's read again. Yadati ki ein tov bam kiim lismach v'lasot tov v'chayav v'gam kol ha'adam sheyochal v'shata v'ra'a tov v'chol ha'malo matat elokim hi. It's not some irreligious hedonism, it's religious hedonism. The belief that God is providing this for us and we should enjoy it. We began last time, Pasuk Yud Daled, seeing how this philosopher rejects the other possibilities. What were the other possibilities? One, trying to make a difference in the world. Two, trying to develop oneself. So first, starting in Pasuk Yud Daled, he relates to the possibility of making a difference in the world. Yadati, ki kol asher yaseh Elokim, hu yiyeh le'olam. Whatever God does, that's what will be forever. Allah vein lo sif, umimeno vein lo grua. Can't add to it, can't take away from it. We talked last time, Pasuk Yud Daled, about the relationship between this Pasuk and the Yisurim of Baltosef and Baltigra. And the reason the Navi here is referring to those Pesukim is because it's the same root. The problem with Baltosef, you know, obviously Baltigra, but also Baltosef, is the sense that we are deciding what's right for us to do, as opposed to serving God, following His commandments. It's the same problem as far as how you relate to the world. We're deciding what the world should be. We're deciding that the world should be different than the way God created it. This past Shabbat, we read about the Brit Mila, the famous discussion between Turnus Rufus and Rabbi Akiva, right? But Turnus Rufus said to Rabbi Akiva, if God wanted a baby to have a Brit Mila, he would have born him that, have him born that way. And the same Turnus Rufus and Baba Basra said, same thing about Stok. If God wanted Aniyim to have money, he would have given them money. Why are you being an Epicurus? Turnus Rufus is expressing that philosophy, which is, God creates the world the way He wants it to be. We don't have the ability or the right or the responsibility or any of that to change it. We should let it be the way God wants it to be. We can't change it. We're not supposed to change it. End of Pasuk Yud Daled. V'ha'elokim asa she'iru milfanav. God made the world this way so we would have proper Yirat Shamayim. We think that we're supposed to make God's world better. It can go to our head and we think that, look at us, right? No. We can't change. We're not supposed to change it. We're supposed to fear God who created it. Mashaya kfarhu, vasher liot kfaraya, velokim yavakesh tanir daf pasuk tetvav. Right? We talked about the last words in pasuk tetvav. God will take care of the one being pursued, of the pursuer. We spoke last week about how the strongest cause of people's sense that they need to fix the world is injustice. And here we're saying, God will take care of those being chased and chasing. Why not, man? Why shouldn't we try and bring justice?
Just makes more injustice.
Mm-hmm. We can't do it right. And even if we're right 90% of the time, it means that 10% of the time we're punishing innocent people. That's why, I spoke last week as people were drooping, that's why the approach of the Jewish court is conservative in the sense that we don't kill, we look for 100 reasons not to kill people. All right, where's the justice? Hashem brings justice. And I mentioned last week that the development of comprehensive law systems, where man tries to take it upon his own shoulders, is not coincidentally parallel to the decrease in people's belief and reliability on God. It's not coincidental that law systems were developed in the 18th century, which happens to be at the same time that people's faith in God is decreasing. We believe that we need to develop a secular society that takes responsibility for the problems in this world. Yes?
But the Roman law system was the basis for most
laws. There's a difference between law and a broad, proactive system of government. By the way, the Roman system, you know, as the Renaissance itself showed, the Renaissance revived those things. I'm talking about versus the Middle Ages. Mm-hmm. But even there, it wasn't as proactive as what we have in modern day society. Okay. The old Rei Dipas Tetzayim, what we were just saying, Tachat HaShemesh, Mekom HaMishpat Shama HaResha U'Mekom HaTzedek Shama HaRasha. Dafka in the places of Mishpat and Tzedek is where the evilness lies. If we think about it for a second, let's put us far and down for a minute so we can think. Where in our society is there the most injustice, conniving, evil courts, lawyers, politics? Well, politics, I guess, for a different reason. See, again, they were using injustice in a different way. I'm not disagreeing with them, I'm just trying to formulate it. They were using it in a different way. We talk about how interests express themselves. I'm talking about injustice. Again, I guess you can't talk about injustice in the medical world because the term doesn't apply. It's ironic how much injustice there is in the justice system. And that's what bothers people the most, right? You know, lawyers who defend people who are clearly guilty. And I'm not. The way our system works is man tries to protect, you know, to build a system that reaches the best results, and then Jewish lawyers come along and figure out how to manipulate that to help their clients. Meaning it's almost like a competition between the lawmakers and the lawyers. Who become the lawmakers, lawyers. Meaning, it's funny to use the term a lawyer. I mean, maybe the term should be a justicer. Now, I'm not complaining about the defense attorney. The defense attorney is doing what his role in the system is supposed to be, making sure that everybody gets a fair trial. But there's something wrong with the system. You understand my point? People are getting me, right? Meaning, I'm not pointing to a certain person saying he's evil. People are doing what they're supposed to be doing within the system we create, but the system we create opens the door for the manipulation of the system in a way that injustice is created. And you think about how much effort, particularly in modern society, goes into ensuring that the process be correct, as opposed to monarchical justice systems where it was up to the king's whims. How much effort goes into making sure it's correct? And still we fail. What's the conclusion that one should reach from that? The conclusion he's reaching is that's not where we should be investing our energies. That's not our responsibility, and it's a problem when we try and do it. The end of Pasuk Yud Zayin is very important. Because what's he referring to here? What's Sham? There. What there? What is he referring to when he uses the word there?
Afterwards?
Yeah. At this point in Kohelet, he still wants to believe in something post. He wants to believe in something post. Now, he needs that in order to allow himself the freedom, the luxury, to not care about what's going on here. What's he reflecting on now? Do anyone? Amart any believe? Al divrat bnei haadam levaram haelokim. What's he saying to his heart now? You okay? Put this back. Amart any believe? Al divrat bnei haadam levaram haelokim. I said to my heart about the thing that men say, levaram haelokim. What does that mean? Levaram. I don't know, Rabbi. I thought we knew so much. We must meet him share. We tell me to chum him, you know. Livaram. So those not looking inside might think it means created. Varam. But those looking inside see that it's missing a Aleph. So what does it remind you of? Betresh. Lavur. Livror. Brera. To choose. Regarding what men say, how does it translate here? I have the English. What's the supposed to go in? 20? 18. Then I said to myself concerning man, God has chosen them. Oh, there you go. The one time where this translation is correct. We should note it. It's not that art school looks to be incorrect. They can be correct sometimes. Important to know. Center, you got it? I'm talking about Tanakh. The Gemara is excellent. But the Varam Elokim, sometimes they translate according to the Drash. I'm sure all the TABC guys know that, right? Wasn't that the point of your four-year education to tell you that art school is dangerous, though? I assume. No, Kolmar, all right? He's got the Kolmar smile on. Oh. I'm with you, the bigger. Okay, weiter. So regarding that God has chosen us, what's the implication? What does it mean? What does it mean when we say God has chosen us, and what's the implication of that? As a philosophy of life. What does it mean God has chosen us, man? regarding what men say that God has chosen them. Chaviv Adam, Mishnah Pirkei Avos, Chaviv Adam, Shenivra B'Tzelem. Man is beloved. He's created B'Tzelem Elokim. Man is chosen from amongst all the creatures in the world to be invested with this great potential and godliness and blah, 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 blah. B'Tzelem Elokim means the way man is different than beast. We're a higher level of a creature. We can think intellectually. We can plan bigger, broader, higher level goals. What would the implication of this be as a philosophy of life? We should enjoy whatever we can? No, that's monkeys, right? The implication would be we should seek things that are higher. We should seek to educate ourselves, develop ourselves. Chachma. If we talked about last time, 2 times ago in Perek Bet, the 3 models he introduced. Change the world, develop yourself, enjoy. So which position is Perek Gimel taking? The right approach is to enjoy. He's rejecting the other 2. First we saw how he rejected the approach that we're supposed to change the world. Now he's rejecting the approach that we're supposed to change ourselves. Develop ourselves. Regarding what men say, what do I really see? That we're more like animals than we want to admit. What proof does he bring for the fact that we're more like animals than we think? What undermines our attempt to believe in our own specialness? Pasuketet, ki mikre v'nei ha'adam u'mikre ha'beima u'mikre echad lohem. What does that mean, beginning of Pasuketet? What does mikre mean? What?
Pasuk.
Yutet.
No.
Mikre with a hey at the end. What?
Happenings.
The happenings. What happens to man is what happens to animal. Now the truth is, that's not fair. It's true, a lot of what happens to man happens to animals, but a lot of things are different, right? So now he continues and develops what he means. What does he mean, end of Pasuk Yutet? Kimot ze kein mot ze. What's his proof that man is really an animal? And nothing better. Dies the same way. And of course, those who know Parshat Bereishit well know that man was not supposed to die. He was supposed to live in Gan Eden and eat from the Eitz HaChaim his whole life. When did God take that possibility away from him? Yeah, and why? What about the Chet Eitz HaDaat forces God to take that away from him? As God says in the end of Perek Gimel, now man thinks
He's God.
He's so special. He's so great. What do I have to do in order to remind him of his limitations?
Mortality.
Meaning, in Bereishit, we see that mortality is meant to teach us this. And in Kohelet, he's using morality to prove this. Mortality. Mortality. Regarding what men say that they're chosen by God, and the truth is that we're more like animal than we think, and the proof is that we die. What would the Jewish religious response to this be? Sometimes as you're going through Kohelet, you start thinking, well, what do we believe? Like, how do we answer this? Nothing matters. We all die anyway. What? Olam Haba. In order to believe in Olam Haba, you need to believe that people have a soul, right? End of Pasuk Yutet. V'ruach echad lakol. U'motar ha'adam min ha'behima ayin. Ki ha'kol havel. Every being has the same kind of spirit. There's nothing left to man more than what's left to animal. Everything is nothing. Hakol holech el makom echad. Hakol hayam in afar. Hakol shav el afar. Stark, no? Not stark. Stark. You guys know what the word means? Difficult to hear. Is man really all dirt? Is man really all dirt? Do you remember what we were told by man's creation? Let's look back at Perek Beis and Bereishis. You want to keep your finger there? Kill you. You're so angry at me, right? Let's look back. Everyone's turning? I don't have pages. Thanks for the decoy. Perek Beis Pasuk Zayin. Vayitzer Hashem Elokim et Adam afar min ha'adama vayipach bi'apav nishmat chayim vayi Adam lenefesh chaya. On the one hand, he's created from dirt. On the other hand, we're told that they have neshama, which comes from God. Of course, what exactly that means is a huge debate between the Litvaks and the Chassidim. Right. To what extent is our soul really a part of God? Yipach ba'apav nishmat chayim. Adam nefesh chaya. What's interesting, though, if you look after the chait, when God is lowering man's level and punishing him, you need to turn one page. I wouldn't have to hear a lot of noise, but a little noise, right? Perek gimel pasuk yutet. Bezeat apecha toch alechem. You'll have to now eat by the sweat of your brow. You're going to have to work hard now. Ad shuvcha el adama, until you return to the ground. When do you return to the ground? When you die. Ki mimena lukachta, because you're taken from it. Ki afarata de'el afarta shuv, because you're dirt and you're going back there. And this is, of course, where the term dust to dust comes from, right? Dust to dust. All we are is dust in the wind. Everything is dust in the wind. Now that's true, not only if you come from Kansas. That's the band that sings Dust in the Wind, where it really is all dust in the wind. Even if you're from New York or London, when you die, you're dust in the wind. Everything is dust in the wind. You guys know that song? Amaratus, we can't fix. Write down, dust in the wind, Kansas. All we are is dust in the wind. But in any case, when God wants to highlight man's yirida, ki afarata ve'el afarta shuv, and no mention of the nishmat Elokim. And forget what the Torah's position on this is. Speaker in Kohelet Perek Gimel is saying, we like to believe that we're something more. Is there any basis for believing we're something more? And now just to put the final nail in, he says, Pasuk Aleph, Mi yodea ruach b'nei adam ho'olahi lamala v'ruach ha've'emaha yoredeti lamata laretz? He's responding to exactly this potential claim. What would a person who believes in the afterlife answer to the claim that man is like animal, we die the same way? No, it's not true. Animal dies, it really is all dust. But man has part of himself that goes up. What's his answer to that? Mi yodea ruach b'nei adam ha'olahi lamala v'ruach ha've'emaha yoredeti lamata laretz? Can anyone prove that? Anyone ever seen it? What's his assumption in asking that question? If we can't prove it, if we can't know it, we can't be expected to invest in it. And this, really, this pasuk right here, I mean, not just this particular pasuk, but this whole way of thinking that he's talking about here when attacking the philosophy of investing in oneself because of the belief that we're different and chosen and special. His response assumes that man cannot be expected to live by, to invest in, things he cannot know. And that really is the whole crux, the whole question that lies behind our inability to devote ourselves to religion. Because on the one hand, we want to believe. On the other hand, we can't know enough to believe. So we believe and we commit, both in quotes, but not really. Because we don't really know that there's a soul that goes up. And everything hinges on that, if there isn't. Right? What does it all mean? And that's where the lukewarmness of who we are comes from. Again, Kohelet, the good thing about Kohelet is he's spelling it out. He's the Apikoros out in front of you. I say, you know what, let me watch what happens to this guy. Let's see where it all ends up. What's important to highlight about Perek Gimel is that he doesn't see himself as a heretic. He's saying, God gives me this world to enjoy. I'm not able and not meant to make a difference. And there's no value in how I develop myself because I have no real reason to believe that I'm different than an animal. I end up the same way. And therefore, Pasuk Chaf Pet, V'ra'iti ki ein tov me'asher yismach ha'adam b'masav. There's nothing better than man enjoying whatever he can. Ki hu chalko. Because this is really what we have. We like to convince ourselves there's more, but ki hu chalko. And why is this the only chelek we can identify? Ki mi yivienu lirot b'meh sheyeh acharav. Because who can bring man to see what will be after him? As long as all we know is what we see, nothing makes any more sense than just enjoying whatever we can. And all the attempts to get us to invest in more because of something later that we don't see. What does that mean? That's why there's such excitement when people, you know, talk about in modern times or in ancient times, having seen the other side. A person dies and comes back. It's like pathetic, right? The guy was obviously, you know, delusional because he's in a coma or whatever he's in, right? Oh, what did you see? I don't know, I saw a light. You know, big light above his head, you know, he's in a coma, right? I saw a woman wearing green. You know, nurse. If he's a little more delusional, it can even sound like the next world. I saw a mass of green and a big light. You have these Gemaras. That's what's exciting, right? Rabbi Levi says, I took the Cherev from the Mal Chamavis and I jumped over and I heard them saying, Ashrei Misha Balakanim Talmudo Biyado. I don't think it's just Shweki's tune that made that song, you know, that Gemara popular 10 years ago. Ashrei mi, Ashrei mi sheba shabalakan v'talmudai v'yon. We don't know Shweki, we don't know Kansas. What do you guys know? College football. Okay. Important things, right? What do we know? Not the Jewish stuff, not the non-Jewish stuff. See, what should we do here? I don't know. Stop the shit until people learn something. Shamati shahayu omrim. Shamati shahayu omrim. Ashrei mi shebalakan talmudo biyado. That's really what they say in the next world? Kalmar, if you really believe that's what they said in the next world, you'd be engraving the Torah in your hand. Like, you know, in cheating style, right? Maiserani. Third year. Sixth year. I always like in interviews. Sometimes there are people who have a hard time looking you in the eyes. They're like, not many, but there are people like that. I always go, you got dancers up there? And don't you see those guys like, this is the way to go, people. Handy source of information. I had a teacher in college who said, you can bring in one sheet with anything you want to write to the test. We said, why? She goes, because I don't want you writing on your hands. I'm thinking, like, we're in college. What's the deal? Writing on the hands. Grow up. I mean, Blackberries, I don't know, you got something to use. Blackberries simply opened a big door. You know, we didn't have in my day. We didn't have cell phones. And you could have it all written on your phone. So they make you turn off your phones. If that's, you know, that easy phone, I assume, right? Otherwise. I imagine the first few years of cellular phones before people realized, like, you could have all this data on it and, you know, text, notes. Yeah, people probably making phones ringing the whole time. Oh, pardon me one second. No, okay. Well, wait a second. Texting each other answers. Am I crazy? Texting each other answers. I say, that was before my time. That's huge. So is there a way to, you know, have your phone on while having it off? I'm sure. Call me, what's the deal?
Offline mode.
Gotcha. I mean, the best way would be to write your answers on your Lulav case. Speaking of which, take note, there might be rotating Lulavs, but the presence of Sukkot is still fresh amongst us. Everyone's got Perek Gimel? Should we move on to Perek Dal? All right. Question.
Yeah. Didn't we say in Pasuk Yud Zayin that he does believe in Olam Haba?
There might be a reckoning, but there isn't a soul. Okay, what does that mean, right?
Yeah.
It means we want to believe in justice, but we have no basis for believing in investing in what our lives will be then. It's one thing to say, I'm sure there'll be justice, because I want to believe in it, right? It's another thing to say, I know that there's going to be something afterwards that's worth me investing my whole life in. That's much more, right?
Yes. The thing about justice is, if we can't create perfect justice, we shouldn't attempt.
You said it in a nice way. We cause injustice.
We cause more injustice than we solve.
Even if we don't cause more, why cause any?
What?
We're not needed. We're not needed. You understand what I mean? We're not needed?
Without any justice in the world, human justice in the world, there's more justice.
Not there's more justice. There'll be eventual justice because God takes care of it, right?
But so in this world, there's
justice. Stay out of the way.
This world is not about justice.
Absolutely not. I mean, not everyone believes. How could anyone believe this world's about justice? I mean, look around. Yeah.
If it's better to stay out of the way from the legal system, why is there a to set up one?
Separate question. Why is there any legal system? Let's start this way. Why did Bezdin ever kill anyone? We're unsure, right? In fact, the Gemara says that when there was a murderer they couldn't convict, they would put him in a box and feed him crackers until his stomach burst, right? Don't get any ideas, people. Now, meaning what's pshat? The answer is it's a deterrent. Like the Mishnah says in Avos, daven for the government. Right? Because without the government, people would swallow each other alive, right? Meaning, it's good that me and you, Moshe, we believe in the next world, and we wouldn't do anything wrong even without a court because, you know, we believe in the next world. What about the people who don't? We have to have some level of deterrent or else people go crazy, right? But Bezdin is a deterrent. They're not trying to bring justice. Understand the difference? Let's say you have a guy who did a crime. Okay? Did a crime, it's wrong, it's bad, he's not a sicko, right? That was meant for murderers, for mass murderers, people, you know, people who were getting away with murder. Which is different than getting away with murder. Getting away with murder is different than a person getting away with murder. You see what I mean with the term getting away with murder?
Sounds like he would be better.
Is that a compliment? Makes sense to everyone else in the room, Colmar. You know why? You have to get to that next level of taking it to the next level. Meaning, a person having murdered and not getting punished for it is different than the phrase we use to get away with murder, which means where a person is escaping the system and consistently doing something that's endangering other people. You want to know who got away with murder? Osama bin Laden. Understand the point? He wants to murder. He's going to continue murdering. He's getting away with murder.
Eventually
he didn't get away with murder. He got away for a while with murder. Okay. Yes.
What's the source for Allah about?
It's a good question. You tell me. The Torah doesn't talk about it before, right? Which is a separate question why it doesn't. If people want, I can talk about that, but I don't know if people want to talk about it. But, you know, the Gemara brings all kinds of ramazim and stuff. And one question is why the Torah doesn't talk about it. But the question, direct question you asked is, how do we really know? So you'd say, well, this is a remez. Now the question is the remez really the source, or is the remez the remez? I think the explanation is that if you don't believe in Olam Haba, you can't believe in anything. As we just saw, right?
Was it a Jewish idea, though?
Seems that other people had similar ideas. Now, where did it begin? That's a separate question. You with me? Now, the question is, was it enough for man to think about the implications, as limited as they are, for life in this world to do the right things? Or at what point, maybe from the beginning, did Olam Haba and the reality of it need to be divulged in order to get people to do the right thing? Torah doesn't talk about Olam Haba because it's not what our life is supposed to be about, right? But at some point, it's what we need in order to give us the confidence and the belief to do the right things, which we should do for the right reasons.
Atheists aren't immoral, though.
Atheists aren't?
Immoral. They don't commit
I didn't
moral.
Say they're immoral.
But they don't believe in Olam Haba.
Therefore?
Why do we need it?
Well, first of all, we believe it because it's true. Now, just because there are some atheists who are immoral doesn't mean that all people will be moral while being atheists. In addition, there's a difference between moral and wearing tzitzis.
I'm saying that you need a...
Well, rewind, do you understand what I was saying?
We have Olam Haba so that we do the correct thing. Mm-hmm. People that do the correct thing without...
Tzitzis and tefillin and not eating chazer? Just the avos, right? we're following each other, right? I'm just making sure. Okay. But, and of course, how would we know if we weren't following each other? It's the risk you got to take. Yes.
You say that if we had given all Hava, then we would just do everything wrong. Does that mean that we don't believe?
I didn't say we would. I didn't say we do everything wrong. I'm saying that without Olam Haba, without Olam Haba, I think I said this and we jumped to the next part, but without Olam Haba, you can't believe in justice. What I was just talking about was why and when Olam Haba might need to be divulged to people. That's what we were just talking about. But there needs to be Olam Haba, because without Olam Haba, you cannot believe that God is a fair and just king. You understand why? Because there's a 2-year-old kid who's murdered by the Nazis. And there's a mass murdering Nazi who dies and lives and dies a beautiful life, right?
I understand that, but do we believe in, innate ethics?
That's a separate question. Do we believe what level of justice and what level of morality is there without that? Those are excellent questions, right? And we could talk about it if people are interested in talking about it, right? But you cannot believe in complete justice, and I would even add in anything near justice, without believing in Olam Haba. Again, sometimes we have the privilege of being cordoned off in a world of ease and luxury without having to think of those issues. You know, when people start thinking about it, their grandfather dies. People come to me, my grandfather died. I said, "You ever hear 6 million Jews who died? That didn't bother you? And why didn't that bother him? And why didn't the people getting murdered in Rwanda or Yugoslavia or Congo or Libya or wherever else bother him? They're Africans, you know what I'm saying? They're Asians, you know. Give me a break." And that's the strange part of our existence. And the reason we don't live our lives correctly is because we don't reflect on the broader issues which Qohelet is trying to get us to reflect on. Qohelet is a book about growing up. Good book to learn after high school. Amazing, many of us think in high school we're old, you know. The high school senior doesn't get any higher than that, right? Yes.
So we're saying that the belief in Olam Haba is the proof for the belief that God is the one that creates justice. Do we need Olam Haba to believe that Hashem is going to create justice anyways?
I didn't use the word create justice, but I believe without Olam Haba, there isn't justice. You know how I know? You know what Olam Haba means? The next world. You know what Olam Hazeh means? This world. This world I see pretty well.
So.
Right? Do we know? Is there justice in this world?
No.
So the only way there would be justice is if there's something else.
So,
yes.
Well, I can't just say that our view of justice isn't what God's view of justice is.
Either of those try to make that claim. It's a tough claim. You understand what I mean?
Why?
Because it's one thing to say we don't see in this circumstance. We don't see. There are certain cases that are very hard to say that we don't see it. By the way, you know what another solution to the justice problem is? Gilgulim. And just want you to understand, you know, what things really relate to. So again, one can say, you don't really know. You don't really know this, you know, millionaire seems to be very happy, his life is miserable. But I can't tell you that the 2-year-old whose head is smashed in by a Nazi, he didn't really get a life, right? And the child born without any limbs, he didn't really get a life, right? I'm not talking about he sinned at age 2 and therefore deserves to suffer the rest of his life. And somehow, right? I'm talking about there are clear injustices that don't seem to be a matter of perspective. Fair?
I don't know if that's an injustice, though.
For a person to live their whole life without any limbs? You know, I'm talking about their babies born without any limbs. I'm going to extreme examples, right?
Okay.
Or, you know, people born mentally retarded. Well, that way you could say, well, you know, they think they're happy, right? But what about a person who is born and is totally and then knows that they can't move?
Equal justice.
If justice is people getting their due, why should a person live a whole life miserably without being able to do anything?
Well, that's your definition of justice.
So let's go back. If justice means people getting their due, which is again, what do you understand justice mean? You say, we don't know what justice means. We don't know anything. So it's true. I guess everything we say is only based upon what we know. You're Cartesian, right? You with me?
I'm analyzed.
But in any case, you're right. So we don't know anything. Descartes begins his, you know, famous work by talking about we don't know anything. Maybe everything we see is fake. Maybe everything we know is not real. Maybe everything we think is wrong. He says, maybe I don't even exist.
Right.
So how does he start? I think therefore I am, right? So again, you know, we can only think about what we see and what we know. You're right, I can't say anything. But within our understanding of things, we cannot fathom anything you know, it's not like there's a tzad. So maybe you want me to say we can't believe in justice without it. But I think it's more than that. Justice makes no sense to us without it.
There are other things, though, that make no sense to us.
So you're right. Maybe one could say Olam Haba is from our perspective, and we get to the different world. We see all things are very, very different. Everything we talk about is our perspective, right? It's true. We start with that assumption. And since nobody else in the room has any interest in what we're talking about, we should move on, no? Okay. Sound good. Perek Dalet. Oh, boy. We have to end. Let's at least just begin. Perek Dalet. What's the problem with this philosophy in Perek Gimel? Wasn't any fun. Sounds like a lot of fun to me.
He didn't enjoy.
He didn't enjoy? What does he say then?
We'll see.
Oh, we'll see. Okay. It's not what he says initially. He doesn't talk about himself, by the way. He's talking in third person, but in any case, yeah.
But it doesn't matter, though, does it? Because he said that ultimately...
Don't respond to his claim, which you know, which wasn't correct. So upset him. Let's talk about what he says. I don't want to get this sidetracked, yeah? Marsha's okay. Anyone? You have to read the psukim. That's how you'd know what he says. Reb Simcha, I'm giving shir. Can I call you back in a few minutes? Okay, sorry. Yeah. B'shafti ani v'ere. So you see, it's a re-reflection. Et kol ha'ashukim asher na'asim tachat ha'shamesh. What are Ashukim? This would explain why none of us were able to figure out what he's talking about. It's a pasuk in the Torah, the book we're supposed to all know. Lo Ta'ashok. Lo Ta'aseh, one of the 613 mitzvahs. What does Lo Ta'ashok mean? At least it should be like some. It should feel bad. You know what I'm trying to say? It should feel bad to be an Amoritz. No, it should feel bad. Okay. So, yeah. Shafti ani vere et kol ha'ashukim, oppressed people. Kol ha'ashukim, as it translates here, the acts of oppression. So here the translation is wrong. It's not acts of oppression, it's oppressed people. Shafti ani vere et kol ha'ashukim, asher na'asim tachat ha'shamesh. V'hinei dim'at ha'ashukim ve'in lehem menachem u'miyad oshkeim koach ve'in lehem menachem. What bothers him about the Ashukim most? Based on the pasuk. What phrase does he use twice besides Ashukim? Ein la menachem. No one's there to console them. What other sefer does Tanakh laments not only the suffering but the loneliness? Echa. Echa yoshevav adad. Right? Ein lem menachem. Skipping. It's one thing to be alone. It's another thing to be totally ignored. To be alone. To be not cared for. He's talking about a situation of people who are oppressed and nobody cares. Or we would say, nobody gives a damn. How does this reality come out of the philosophy of Perek Gimel? How is it a response? Yes?
Everyone's so focused on themselves and on society on a whole.
I told you, Tornis Rufus, right? Stuckoff. Hashem wanted them to have money. Kind of like the Republicans, right? If Hashem wanted them to have money, they'd have money. This is Robin Hood, Epicurus. It's not my job to fix the world's problems. Now it's not my job. You're not Epicurus if you fix the world's problems. My job is to worry about me.
You don't see God doing it either.
Hmm?
You don't see God doing it either.
So I believe the next world will be justice. God figures out what he wants. He has a cheshbon. We don't really understand God's justice anyway. I'm not saying you were saying that. I'm just saying you're using the... Right?
No, but no one's there to console them. Like God's not even there to console them.
That's not what he sees. In this world, I see people suffering who nobody cares about. Meaning it's one thing in Perek Gimel. Talk about how there's a time for everything, and everything's beautiful, and the world is wonderful, but there's just one problem with all that. It ain't. I don't think I mentioned it last week, but the philosophy presented in Perek Gimel was very much the dream world that people had, you know, in the 60s. For example, the song, "There is a season, turn, turn," the birth was in the 60s. And this was like the whole philosophy, in quotes, behind the Flower Children. Have you heard the Flower Children? Woodstock. Oh, now it talks. Like a few years ago, they had the anniversary. It must have been the 40th anniversary of Woodstock. Right? 3 years ago. 40th anniversary of Woodstock. So they had the milk, you know, the farm, Yasker Farm. For that. You guys know Woodstock? When they had Woodstock, they had like a picture of a cow in a tie-dye shirt. Tie-dye was like Woodstock. And they say, hey, he's there 40 years of Woodstock. 30 years of Woodstock. And I'm like, I don't know if we want to be drinking that milk. Because the cows are grazing off grass. And I don't mean the green kind. Meaning, you know, there was a lot of stuff that went down over there in Woodstock. Now, Woodstock, for those that don't know, was a summer celebration of love and peace. Everyone came out and free love. Why shouldn't there be free love? That sounds good, right? And free rock and roll. And Jimi Hendrix playing his Star Spangled Banner with his left hand. Now that I'm supportive. Now, you know, hey. Why should we everything be free? Because the world is good. All we have to do is share with each other and enjoy each other. Dude. There were 400,000 kids there. Mostly from Long Island. And the like. People who grew up with everything. So why should we, you know, why should we have class systems? Why should we should all just share and love? What happened to the Flower Children? They became yuppies. Now, what happened? They went back after Woodstock. It was very Hamish. And they went back and they discovered the real world of inner city crime and of suffering. Reality. The reality is that the world isn't such a great place. The reality is that most people don't enjoy life. Again, this is a secret they don't tell you because who wants to be told that when they're a kid? Most people work 51 weeks a year so they can go on vacation 1 week a year, or if they're religious, have Yom Tovim. You know why people are so frustrated on Yom Tov? That's their vacation. And they're sitting in shul eating matzah and in the sukkah and 2 freaking days of Yom Tov and Shabbat Chol HaMoed. It's like the worst thing for Yom Tov that it had to be vacation. People work all week so they can get off the weekend, so they can get enough koach to go back to work. That's why people need to go nuts on Sunday and do all kinds of crazy. They have to feel like that I have a life. It'd be great if the world were so wonderful, if it was yetakol asai yafeh v'ito. And the proof he brings for this, will conclude pasuk bet. B'shabeach ani et ha-meitim shekfar metu min ha-chayim ha-shahim ha-chayim adana. The lucky ones are the person who, people who finished their lives. Shabeach ani et ha-meitim shekfar metu min ha-chayim ha-shahim ha-chayim adana. The tov mishneem at the shereidin lo haya. Better to never have been born. Noach lo shelo ya nivra. Asher lo ra'at ha-maaseh ha-ra shenaseh tachat ha-shamash. We didn't have a chance to fully present the problems with Perek Gimel, but I just wanted to begin. And of course, we didn't even get to the next philosophy he'll present in place of what he said in Perek Gimel. All that next week without Mincha now, right? How many people didn't have Mincha?